Hello and welcome to episode 97 of the Cardholder Podcast, your weekly source for Magic Online news, community, and finance. Be sure to check out cardholder.com for buying and selling Magic Online singles with round-the-clock customer service. My name is Connor, I'm the host and editor for the podcast, joined as I am always by my two co-hosts. First up, from Cardholder, Nathaniel, how was your Easter?
My Easter was acceptable, I guess.
Acceptable is how Easter goes. I mean, it's not like an extravagant holiday.
Yeah, well, my family never really did much with it, but my wife's family does, so we typically visit with them. We happen to go down to see my sister, though, so you know, she has two kids, and we have our son, and it's fun to watch them do stuff. And they did a really cool thing, which was the kids planted jelly beans, and then they grew lollipops overnight. So my sister went out and like put lollipops in where they had planted the jelly beans. So that was fun. But lots of candy, though. Lots of bad eating and lots of driving. So not my favorite things. I mean, I love eating candy, but, you know, it's in moderation. And when it's around like that in the holidays, man, I just take it down.
For sure. The other downside is too, like, no magic. I mean, we had zero magic coverage this weekend. Come on.
Well, you know, if you play Magic Online, you can play whenever you want, even on Sunday.
It's true. But it's always a lull weekend. When I used to do coverage, Easter weekend was always a very slow weekend. So just the way things roll. But also joining me from Ireland, we have Mr. Dave C. He played in a GP this weekend. So Dave, how was your GP weekend?
As people following me on Twitter will attest, it did not go well. But if you're to follow my life by my Twitter account, you'd assume most things are not going well for me.
That's true, Dave. They're very true.
Below expectations. We didn't make day two. Had some bad experiences, which I don't really want to go over and spread negativity onto the cast. But our pool was very good,
which,
and that's why.
Which we've never done. We never talk about anything negative at all.
Never. Worlds 2 years ago. Or World Magic Cup, I'm sorry.
Mostly, I think it was expectation. We opened a pool, and the pool was well above average. Like, a very good pool. We had two, I think, excellent decks, and one fine deck, but had some really good lines of play. It's hard to explain, but I had tricky lines of play that could beat other good decks. It wasn't just dead to other powerful decks. So we were very happy with our decks, started 3-0, and the wheels came off shortly after that. PTQ the next day also did not go very well. We ended up 2-3 with worse decks than the main event, but still very good decks. So while I don't think either of my teammates played poorly, I think they actually played very well. Enjoyed watching them in the pool side, the team events, of course, is getting to do this with your friends. It was great hanging out with them. You do feel like maybe there's something you missed and didn't see when you don't do well with a good pool.
Did you play the hard to play deck?
No, they gave me the best and easiest to play deck twice.
We'll give Dave the training wheels, all right.
Essentially, yeah. I just got the black-white mid-range deck twice, which is, and one of them was basically a pre-con vampire deck, maybe missing like one or two out-and-out bombs to be broken. It's just kind of how it landed. We made those decks in front of us, and then one of my teammates, Steve Madden, is known for playing green decks, and he was the guy that brought Strength of the Fallen to the Pro Tour a few years ago and ripped up day one with it. So,
see that famous shoe guy?
Shoe guy?
Isn't there a shoe store called Steve Madden?
Oh, it is. Yeah. If you've ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street, whenever he does well in a magic event, we all send him the gif from that Steve Madden.
Was Steve Madden like an investor in that movie or something?
Yeah, well, they invested. They wanted to like help him sell the stocks for his company, and one of them was yeah.
That movie's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie is fantastic. Let's not get into the details.
No, let's not get into the details
of that movie. No.
That would have to be After Dark to get in the details of that movie.
Yeah. So he defaulted to the green deck, and me and my other friend, Paddy Lawler, who I've teamed with a couple times now, don't really have a preference, so both the decks were sitting in front of us, and that's kind of how it went. But I did definitely just have the strongest deck, and I think the best record at the end because of it, both times, but my deck was not interesting. They either went long and I kind of lost because of complications, or I won in 2 minutes. One of my games went 2-drop, 3-drop, 2-drop, 2-drop. On 5, 2-drop plus procession. My opponent picked up procession, put it back down, asked if it was his turn. I gave the person to my right some quick advice, and he was too impatient, so scooped up his cards because I hadn't passed a turn. He's like, why are we still playing? So that was a lot of my games. Nice. Oh, no, something really positive happened. As I had a negative experience there, but an Irish team, top fourth. Alex Ball, very good friend of mine. Guido and Gervais, sorry, don't know their second names offhand. But Alex Ball is a very good friend of mine. This is second GP top eight, which is a huge feat for someone in the community, I think, as small as Ireland. And they're off to the 25th anniversary Pro Tour in a couple months, so delighted for them.
Very cool.
Awesome, awesome. Was the PTQ also for that team Pro Tour as well? Was that what you qualified for?
Yes, PTQ was also for the team one. Of note, to bring it back to Magic Online a little bit of a segue, we won't have any team PTQs on Magic Online. I think they're just skipping that season and they're all for the season after that.
Yeah. Man, I wonder if there was a wish list that we had. I'm sure that was a suggestion. It was.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I understand them doing it. What I would have liked was the option, because you can still team up with like gold pros.
Yeah, the way the teams are set up, because I've been talking to some of the team about it, it makes no sense at all. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Because I was, you know, remember how like the Quinn and Jack Kiefer qualify with Ely? Like, they don't necessarily have to play with each other. They could play with anybody else that's qualified, it seems like. But if you're on the six-player pro team that is in the official like pro whatever, then you have to play with people on that if they qualify. It's like it's a total cluster F. It's very strange. And it's kind of like they hadn't thought it through before they decided to do a team pro tour. And then they're like, oh, right, we have to deal with this. What if we did this? And they're like, sure. And they just kind of piecemealed it together. And it's very confusing. And I think it kind of is like a feel bad for people that qualify with somebody, but then they're required to play with other players.
Yeah, it does very much feel like they had an idea and they've just patched holes when they've come up. It feels like top-down design, but top-down design doesn't work for events. You know, you got to have a good foundation and structure and rules to an event. It sounds like someone went, you know what's cool? Team events. You know what we made a lot of money in attendance off of GPs? Team events. Yeah. Let's do a bunch of team events as a celebration. And they're like, oh, this is a wit. What do we, oh, what if he wants to, no.
It's a bit of a mess. And yeah, Wizards, yeah, I'm sure, realize we probably shouldn't do this again. And it's obviously looking like it's going to be a one-time thing. So I mean, whatever, we get to see Legacy in the Pro Tour. So let us have this one time. It's not going to be perfect. I'm fine with all of it, personally.
Yeah, I think it's fine because it's a celebration. I think also to an extent, if this was something they want to do going forward, they would have had done a lot more groundwork and figured out all these loopholes to it.
Sure. I understand.
I hope it goes well and that they do it and then just kind of adjust the way some of these things work. Like, for example, what you just mentioned, like there's no reason. I know we can't do team events on Magic Online, but we should still be able to qualify for them. So I wish that had been reconsidered in some way. It always feels bad when Magic Online gets left out of stuff.
Oh yeah,
an update to the wish list.
we'll have to bust that out. We haven't talked about that in a long time.
I was just thinking the same thing when you mentioned the wish list. I was like, oh man, I haven't had to come up with something in a long time.
Well, it's been dead. Yeah, it's been dead for a while.
Been scraping the bottom of the barrel because they did everything that we asked for, right?
There's a lot of things.
Yeah, pretty much.
But as far as the other client, we talked about it last week, and I finally got my chance to get my hands on it. So I finally got to play Arena last week. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
I got a code through day 9 stream, which was exciting. That was really cool, which I thought, by the way, I thought clever marketing to Wizards of the Coast. You know, we usually don't give props to this department, and we've been very critical on the cast about Wizards of the Coast marketing, but I thought they did a great job this past week. Loving it. Kibler's playing Magic again. Cool. And I've seen commercials on YouTube for Dominaria as well. Not just really? Like lame commercials. Yeah. Cool voiceovers, cool animations. So Karn has this like really cool sounding voice. His mouth was actually moving too. It wasn't just some random, you know, voiceover. It was, hey, here's what Karn sounds like. He's talking to you. It was really cool, actually. So I'm hoping Magic is taking a little step forward. I mean, obviously, marketing budgets don't need to be wild, but, you know, just give us something cool once in a while. And I think this is something cool.
Yeah, I think a lot of times they've had some nice videos and packages, but they, like, played them at the Pro Tours. And I'm like, no, I think that's wrong. Like, the pro, you already have people watching your pro tour, and yes, that's not the end of selling your game to them, but I think you're wasting these very good video packages and vignettes mm-hmm. on a crowd that are already there to watch Magic. You need to put them other places, and yeah, YouTube sounds like a perfect thing. And yeah, I think they've got the right streamers. Like, they already had connections. A lot of these streamers already had connections to Magic because, you know, we give it about Magic a lot, but Magic is the game. I think it's still the best game in the world. Giving these people an excuse to get in on the ground floor of Arena and promote it is genius. Even if they're paying them, even if this isn't all organic, it doesn't matter. It's perfect marketing, and I think any game would do the exact same if they had the money to.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I've seen people complain that, like, they're getting extra stuff, and I'm kind of like, what? Why
get,
would you?
Yeah, get out of here.
Of course they are. Like, that's the whole point. It's called advertising. Honestly, like, it boggled my mind that people were either surprised or complaining about it. But yeah, I think it makes total sense. Like, it absolutely makes sense. I haven't watched really many of them other than the Crypt stream that I watched for a little while. And I assume it means they can't be as, say, forthright with their opinions as maybe they otherwise could be. Just like Kibler comes to mind, because, you know, obviously he in the past has been extremely critical of Magic Online to the point of quitting it and starting Hearthstone. And
yeah, I didn't get to watch his stream. I mean, Day 9 usually isn't that type of person anyways. He's just right. Very good at hyping anything up you can give him.
Like, yeah, okay.
He can make a ham sandwich sound awesome, and it's an awesome game or something like that. So that, at least that's my opinion. Day 9 is just so good at that. Just certain, like, mechanics, too. He's so good at, like, explaining. Somebody asked him, oh, what's Explore do? And he just explained it perfectly in a sentence. He doesn't hesitate at all. And, like, that's the kind of guy you want to represent your game, especially. Yeah. Not that, like, even him, he was just like, oh, what does this card do? What does this card do? And it's like, obviously, he's not, like, well in tune with the game. Because he was like, right. Oh, where's Huntmaster of the Fells? I missed that card. I'm like, man, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I assume he doesn't come cheap as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what they gave them, because there is always the opportunity. I don't think Arena is going to ever, as I've said before, bust over Hearthstone. I think it's going to do very well. But a lot of these people just need to be given a bit of incentive, because if this takes off, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for people like Kibler or Day 9 or any of those. Any of those professional streamers, because it's a quote-unquote untapped market. And these games usually do well, you know, are doing their best numbers in the first couple of years. After the development stage, there's a spike, and then they'll level off or plateau like most things do. League of Legends is like a very big example of that. So I don't know. I don't know how much they were given. There are also people very involved in Magic. It was sad, though, watching Kibler a little bit not know what any Magic cards do anymore.
Sad.
Yeah, it's depressing, because we all knew he didn't play Magic. I don't think he's been on a Pro Tour in forever, since they changed the rules of the Hall of Fame, where you're not able to go to, Hall of Famers don't go to all the Pro Tours anymore. I think they are getting the right people to play it. They've had their eyes on these people. These people have, you know, been there before. There's a reason Day 9 was the first person, one of the first, like, celebrities to kind of be invited to the Pro Tour. He got that special invite years ago.
And he plays a lot of Hearthstone as well now. Like, I didn't think he played that much, but he plays weekly. And he gets a lot of viewers.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, he gets it. His personality clicks with what you need to be a good streamer. Here he does.
So, yeah, it's cool that, like, Arena, you know, we're still in closed beta. It's starting to get more eyeballs, so that's really cool. But the reality is, though, Magic Online, it's kind of the go-to place for Magic, and specifically for Dominaria coming up, that's where we're going to be able to play it. So coming from playing Arena, though, all last week, and not having, like, any events to play on Arena, like, I thought it was a good time to, like, revisit events that are available on Magic Online. Like, what works, what doesn't work, what do we recommend people play, what our personal favorites are, what should we avoid? Because I still a common question I'll see on Reddit occasionally, too, like, how do you go infinite on Magic Online, which probably isn't really a thing anymore, or what's the best way to grind? Always hard to recommend specific events to other people, because time and money is a huge factor, of course. But I guess we'll start off with, like, what events do we still love to play on Magic Online the most?
My bread and butter always will be competitive leagues still. I think they are the most reliable. And to answer your questions, you know, what's best to grind out? How do you go, quote-unquote, infinite? Going better than 50% on competitive leagues is how you go infinite. Consistent 3-2s with the odd 2-3, you know, roadblock thrown in your way. And that is the cornerstone, I think, of Magic Online at the moment.
Nathaniel, I know you don't play as much Magic Online as you used to. What did you used to like to play?
I think when I used to play a lot, it was before the leagues were even around. Right. And I would almost always play the A4s or whatever. So, which I think is kind of just the competitive stuff.
Competitive single elimination drafts.
Yeah, single elimination for sure. I don't really like sealed that much because I think there's just too many bomb cards all the time, especially when you get into the leagues and you start doing well. Like if you're playing kind of a mediocre deck without a lot of bombs, you just run into so much nonsense, I feel like. And whenever they changed going away from having like 5 rares to 6, which was a long time ago, I think, sealed became significantly less fun for me. And you can also get more with the foils and like, but when you have big pools, like pools of people, you run into a lot of it. But I certainly always played whatever had the sort of most top heavy payout and was quick. So those are the two things. So valuing my time, I guess, more than my money, like hoping that I can kind of keep my own, but I don't think I ever, I take that back. There was a time where I went infinite. It seems like an aggressive way to call it because you can go infinite sort of really easy ways, like playing only player run events, which are free to enter. And if you win anything, then you're infinite. So I think there's ways to play for free, and we can call it infinite if you want, but there's only a very small subset of people that can make money, like substantial money playing. And I think that's even fallen by the wayside as the payouts have kind of been reshifted a little bit. I'm hoping, as I've said, I'm hoping they're going to shift back to that a little bit more, because I think that will be one major selling point for Magic Online that maybe Arena can't deliver. So I hope they bring that back a little bit. But if not, I mean, yeah, for me, just the chance to gain a lot of value in one event, either by opening something really cool or, you know, just finishing really well. Because getting 8 packs when you put in 3 is awesome. It's a great feeling. So that's what I always tend to gravitate towards. I don't really play the Phantom stuff much at all, unless you have to for whatever it happens to be. I think the Phantom stuff is a good way to go infinite, but what you're going infinite for is just like more play. So almost what like Arena is going to be, right? Where you can potentially go infinite of just free play or free drafts. I mean, granted, we don't know how it's going to work, but I expect that's what the sort of the top tier of Arena is going to be.
Well, there's a ways to utilize that, though, because say if you get infinite play points or whatever, you can just use that when a new draft format comes out, shove all those play points into kind of new sets.
That's true. That's a very cumbersome way of doing it, but I suppose that's right.
It is, and that's kind of like why it's hard to answer this question sometimes, because it's hard to say when draft formats are good EV or not, because early in the formats, we always generally say that the singles are worth a lot more, but right now, if you draft Rivals of Ixalan, it's not... I mean, would you guys agree that it's not really great EV to draft that format right now?
I think for a long time, it's been... Once the initial couple weeks of a draft format has gone, it's not been good EV to draft. Because card prices, I've noticed over the last couple years, have not been great. And booster prices, even though chests and play points have kind of stabilized to a certain amount, how much those fluctuate, because there was a time where packs used to go down to absolutely nothing, right? Was it about 2 years ago, near the start of this cast, when we were complaining about after 4 or 5 weeks, packs are worth nothing because there's so many in circulation, essentially.
It's not even that far back. You can go to like Amonkhet. Amonkhet's only worth a ticket. I mean, I think after that, we finally got to see a little bit of a fix.
Yeah, and it's still harsh this coming this late into a season. Dominaria are right around the corner. So drafts tend to be bad, but there's one thing I want to kind of say about, I guess, EV is also a little bit in the eye of the beholder, as it is pure maths, but if I'm a 60% limited player, hell right. Yeah, I should just play drafts all day. Doesn't matter, I'm coming out on top. And even if you have a bad stint of losing a bunch of drafts in a row. It doesn't matter if you're 60% kind of overall, if you're that level of drafter, which is high. That doesn't sound high, but that's the level of drafter Pro Tour players are. You should draft. You should keep going. But I think for the regular person, the 45 to 50%, yeah, drafts aren't the best place to be. But there isn't many things that are the best place to be if you're that low in kind of win rate. And that's something people forget as well when they're talking about this stuff. It's like, yeah, I need to make my money back out of it. And like, well, we can't be paying everyone that's below 50%. That's just not how the system is going to
function. They used to have a lot more high-end tournaments as well. Premier events come to mind. And those were always really fun to play in. And I think, you know, more prestigious than some of the challenge stuff, which I don't mind having. But like the top-end tournaments, there's nothing in between sort of the challenges and the mocks events right now. And I think that's a shame. And I'm hoping at some point the stability is there to bring those back. But ultimately, that's the kind of event that I would like to play as well. Although the time to do them was always a big problem as well. So it's always about, if you're grinding, I think a lot of the grinders out there, the people that play Magic Online to make money, play fast decks in fast ways to get as much done in an hour as they can, I think.
Yeah, that's probably why I prefer constructed leagues and why I see a lot of people play Burn or kind of red decks that I love to beat up on. You can easily fire up a constructed league and easily try to at least get a 3-2, and you're going to get your money back and plus a treasure chest. So you're up, you know, $2. Or if you open something sweet. And on the other side, though, going from, yeah, the challenges, you bring up a good point, Nathaniel, that you have to keep in mind the challenges are 7 or 8 round events. It depends on what format you're playing, I'm thinking. But I know, like, Popper, Modern, I know those generally have better turnouts. I can't keep track of the turnouts for those because I want to play more challenges since those have really, really top-heavy payouts. But it's, for me, the time investment to play in those tournaments, it's, I can never find the time to play in any of them. So it's unfortunate. So I frequently stick with the constructed leagues and once in a while drafts. But as Dave said, like, I'm a mediocre drafter, so in the long haul, I'm definitely losing money on drafts for sure.
I actually really like the suggestion of the big draft single limbs they used to do, the 64 man, the double ones. They got rid of them initially because they'd only fill up a couple of them on American times, and then it's this huge feel bad where you're just waiting. Like, you're like, oh, it's now to the event, I'll sign up and I'll just kind of wait here by my computer. Oh crap, it only got 50 people. Oh man, people are leaving. No, stay, please stay. Wait for the other like few people, and then you just have wasted 2 or 3 hours of your life. So I understand why they took them away, but they could bring them back as a league now. I think that would be really cool.
So much of everything relies on having just a big enough user base to fill up events and make wait times not be terrible. I think you look at some of the Eternal leagues and stuff, and the numbers are lower than I would expect. But I think if you just tweak the numbers a little bit, to make the payouts a little more generous, then I think you might start solving some of that. I mean, there's still the stability question, and I don't know that we've seen many stability issues recently. If they truly want Magic Online to stick around, I think they got to find a way to get those back. Because I mean, arena's gonna for the people that kind of play the friend. If you're targeting people with like the friendly leagues, like, is that who Arena seems to be targeting, maybe? Or is it even more casual than that? I think it's hard to say at this point.
It really is hard to say. I mean, we don't know what kind of events they're gonna have, and maybe they just create new events that are just even more appealing than, I mean, there's so many I wrote down here. There's a bunch of like single match queues that we can talk about, all this stuff. So it's like, how do you have to be able to compete with that?
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. And maybe that's something that could definitely be something to do. I remember when I started playing Magic Online, like on and off for just PTQs, I used to put 50, 60 bucks every couple of weeks on just to do the PTQs, that there were like people in countries like Brazil where the minimum wage isn't that high doing Magic as a full-time job because they could grind out more ticks than they could make on minimum wage. These are all rumors. I don't know how possible that this actually was.
That absolutely happens. Yeah. People in countries where, you know, making $4 an hour would be considered very high, absolutely do Magic Online as a job.
And maybe they embrace that now because they've definitely gone away from that and made payouts in a way where you need a higher percentage rate to go infinite. Some people still do. I definitely know people that sell ticks to support themselves to an extent. I don't know anyone that can really do it 100% fully bar one or two people, but I still know people who maybe pay for a lot of their GP trips and stuff that way. But maybe they fully embrace it again. Maybe they lighten up a little bit as we're talking about EV here and they get those people back in. The issue, I guess, with that is you have to have enough fish. It's like online poker almost, though they have a rake system, of course. You need enough people that aren't good enough at the game to go infinite to balance out all the people that are going infinite and never putting money back on your system. It is actually a little bit like freemium, where freemium has so many people that scrounge off the system, it needs a couple of what they call whales to spend 100, 200 bucks a month.
Right.
To balance out for the hundreds of people who put on nothing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the problem with the Eternal formats, too. And that's where I've been with Legacy. I'm definitely a fish when it comes to Legacy. I have to be honest with myself. And just like, I can't play Legacy anymore. It's just, I'm losing way too much money playing that format. And I mean, obviously just because of the metagame shifts. I mean, it didn't used to be like that. So that's part of the reason. But I think that's another reason why the Eternal formats just don't see as much traffic. I mean, when you have competitive payouts too, it's really hard to get into those formats then.
Yeah, it's tough. Not going to lie about that. Yeah, I think those are kind of my main go-tos. I love drafting. And if you're good at a draft format, you can just go infinite, though. It's a little harsh. Friendly Sealed seems to actually have a pretty good payout structure for those people just looking to get bang for their buck.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, Dave, because I know you've played a lot of Sealed lately, and I mean, Nathaniel said he wasn't a big fan of Sealed. I just never play Sealed anymore either. Let me know on the models of Sealed, because there's actually several different options I wasn't even aware of. I think they have a Phantom Sealed where it's like very low buy-in and very low payout as well. Am I thinking of the right thing?
Sealed is that the only thing that has two-tier leagues now.
It's like 9 packs or whatever. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you can choose to add extra packs. I think it's 2, but I'm not 100%. Yeah, you can choose when you do a certain amount of winning, you can choose 1. And then if you do a certain amount of winning, you have to put on money or put in your pack, but to open additional packs. And apparently that has one of the...
Well, I think it's like a three stages, 9 matches. Right. Yeah. Right, and each one after 3 matches, you can add another pack if you want to. But you know, if we're talking about EV, like the people that do it for EV don't add any. Like if you add the second you add packs, then you start losing a lot of EV. But you know, your deck might need it, I suppose. But so if you open up a good pool that you don't have to add packs to, like your EV can get really high in those, having just only putting in the initial seal pool,
definitely
for sure.
It seems, as far as I've known and from looking at the calculator, that 1 pack is fine and it still has EV to it. You can still go positive with a positive win. But 2 packs is when you're just throwing some money down the drain. But yeah, that seems to have a pretty level, decent payout. And we talked about EV of time. Connor was talking about, you know, it's not worth his time. He can't take a whole day off to play challenges, which we have said have replaced high-stake events. This is 9 stages, but you can just do them over time. Leagues are like the best time EV for anyone.
They are in a way. I hate playing 9 matches with the same deck as in limited, though. That's my only...
Me too.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's why I've tried this queue once, and I've never gone back just because of that. Because normally I love limited, but I can't do that.
I don't think the stage tournaments did the original leagues on Magic Online justice at all. Because it used to be you played 5 matches a week. For however many weeks it was, either 4 or 8, I can't remember. And then you could play as many infinite like breaker matches, and the breaker system was actually kind of stupid, but you know, it you didn't have to do that much. It was very, very casual in terms of amount of play. I don't think a lot of people play them.
Well, it's the opposite. There's like 3,000 people in the queue, or 3,000 people in the league. Yeah,
it gets a lot of plays.
And then not in the staged one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like one of the most popular attractions. A much more moment.
Yeah, which I was surprised at.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
That's extremely, because I hate them. I like you, Connor, I tried it once and I was like, oh, this is miserable. I don't want this deck anymore. I mean, I suppose you could open up a booster and then build a whole new deck, but It feels like kind of just building another deck in the middle of an event, which I also hate doing. So,
yeah. I mean, if people want to redeem sets, I mean, this is probably the best way, I'm guessing.
The best way to redeem sets is just buy.
Yeah, just for buy sure. But if you want to play events, I'm saying if you want to play events, but also open cards with like that as a backup plan. Sorry, I'll make that.
Right. I mean, I think you get a lot more play, like you a lot more. You can build more decks. You got more variety. Assuming you add the extra boosters, you can do a lot of different things for the entry fee. It's probably a little bit better. And they're friendly, right? So that they're not as harsh if you don't do as well either.
Right, right, right. Yeah, what I was thinking about, the reason I couldn't find it is there is a Phantom Sealed, but it's in the limited queues section. So it's not in the league section, which is really weird. And it's very low buy-in. 6 tickets, 60 play points. The payouts are 3 wins, 90 play points, 2 wins, 60, and 1 win is 10, I think, or 30. I didn't write
that.
Yeah,
people kind of like those, like the friendly leagues. It's kind of this very flat payout. You know, people, especially with lower win percentages, they don't want to necessarily win more, or they don't want the high EV. They just want this nice flat EV where they cannot lose too much.
Yeah, this is Phantom. You said friendly. Friendly's different from...
Oh, yeah.
Sealed.
Friendly also has kind of a flatter one, as far as I know, to the extent where you never lose that much.
Right, but the friendly seals, they have a much bigger buy-in, though. Because the buy-in for that is 24 tickets, or you know, packs plus 4 tickets, or 240 play points, compared to 60 play points. Huge difference if you want to jam some seals.
Agree. But the fall-off is just so harsh. Like, if you look at the one I'm playing a lot is competitive... Sealed League, which also has a big pay in the 24.
Same
ticks.
As friendly. Yep.
Yeah, but if you go 4-1, you make a profit. If you go 3-2, you're just down money. Just straight down money. Yep. And people don't like that. 3-2 is a very good result for most people. As I said, that's over 50%. That's good magic. Pros only have 60 to 65%. So I think people just enjoy getting rewarded for about that much more winning, because that's what. That's about how much winning the majority of people on Magic Online, I would hazard to guess, do.
Yep, just know that going in. Do you guys ever play the two-man queues? I keep forgetting they exist until I look at them like, oh yeah, they exist.
I used to. I absolutely used
really?
To. Like, yeah, like when streaming or testing out decks, like it's when you're trying to tune a deck and when you have to play 5 matches, it kind of stinks. Although maybe it forces you to be better at tuning decks, I suppose, depending on your perspective. But I used to, like, you know, I would play those pretty frequently, including, I think they had the Momir events.
Yeah, they still have a two-man queue for Momir, which I didn't even know existed until now, which is interesting.
Yeah, but Momir's fallen off. I don't know if it's because people didn't play and therefore they took away some of the events or vice versa. I think it could have gone either way. But Momir used to be a lot bigger than it was, and it's such a fun format.
Yeah,
I wish it would be more popular. Or
yeah, if they did a league, I would love to see how popular it got. And I think you played it more too, since you didn't have leagues. I think leagues kind of decentralizes playing these single match queues, because it's so much easier to just jump into the match really quick. But when you still be in a daily, it's like, oh, I'll jump in like a match or whatever. And we used to have the eight-man tournaments as well. So things were very much different. It's just like these were like the last relic of like kind of the old model of Magic Online. And I would not recommend these at all.
Yeah, I think so.
The rake's not great either. No. Like you can't really do much. I agree. They're not great unless you want to kind of tune a deck or something, so you don't have to play 5 matches. You can just play 1, see how you liked it, sort of thing. But I don't remember the pay. I don't know if they're different now, but the payouts were never great, and it's all Phantom, right? Events or like it's like a 20-point buy-in.
Buy-in's 2 tickets or 20 play points, and then you either win 30 play points or lose, or you win. If you lose, get 5. Yeah, sorry. You don't lose 5. Take away more play points.
Speaking of rakes, the one event that isn't but is still great EV, I complained about this a very long time ago, but PPTQs are online are weird, where the rake is huge on them. You only ever want to go 4-1. 3-2, you're not only losing money on the event, but you're not getting that qualification you're looking for. But it gets justified and they still get good numbers, because it's hard to put a quantifiable number on
Pro Tour invites.
The qualification, Yeah, and some people have quoted it being a lot of money to me, but it's hard to, and some people said, you know, the EV was calculated, you know, it's worth this much because the final prizes, if you calculate the prizes of the PTQ and the odds of you hitting one. But I think the EV of a PTQ invite is very much to the individual, like means different things to different individuals. And then the same goes for PTQs, which are huge rakes, absolutely massive, soul-destroying numbers of rake. But the grand prize for that is insane. It's every Magic player's dream, or the majority of Magic players' dreams, to go play on the Pro Tour. So that is always an interesting one on Magic Online that's hard to quantify. And it brings up a question. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but Lee did a poll about it. Should we get the PPTQs back for Constructed? At the moment, the system is you have to win a PPTQ to enter a limited PTQ. But they took that away from Constructed because the PPTQs for Constructed were quite small. But recently, a modern event went into 10 rounds, I think. And like the top 8 might have been a harsh cutoff. I didn't exactly pay attention, but there was a lot of rounds in the recent one. So they are considering going back to the old system for that. And do you guys have an opinion on it?
Yeah, I don't follow the system at all. I'm much more comfortable going into Constructed. As I said, my Constructed results have been a little bit better than my limited as far as really high-level events.
I hate PPTQs.
I'm not a fan either. But yeah, if I'm given a choice, yes, I'll do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do either, frankly. But I mean, I think given the choice, I'd rather kill one day than kill 2 days or two half days. You know what I mean?
The issue people have is it's really unpleasant playing in an 11 round event.
Yeah, it is.
Is what they want to stop it going from.
We need to get 2 day events on Magic Online so that people can plan ahead. I mean, we just need Grand Prix online. But Arena will probably get those.
I will say Magic Online has been quite stable over the last while. I can't remember the last time we've complained about a mega meltdown. Sometimes after updates, they still have to do this cleanup. They kind of go live and it feels like they're going, well, we can't see anything wrong. Let's just be on high alert until a problem does come up, which is still an issue that's something they probably still need to improve on a little. But I haven't faced any like major lag or drop out of tournaments, so I can't remember the last time a PTQ just stopped. So maybe we're getting closer to that on Magic Online, like a big premium event like that.
It's felt super stable, I would agree. And we, even from like a dealing perspective, you see like the bots will break sometimes after the extended. But I mean, I think we talked about it maybe a while ago, assuming my memory is working here still. But I think we were saying that there's not going to be a lot of development of new features. And if you aren't developing big features, then you're just kind of keeping the status quo. You're probably not introducing big issues into the system. And maybe that's one of the reasons why it's felt so stable, is because they're not trying to do new stuff, new big items. It's just kind of like new small things that don't really change a whole lot of code.
It's a hard balance. As we kind of wrap up this discussion, I mean, it's hard because we want, as a community, we demand more options. You know, we're going to get Brawl. There's talk of Chaos Drafts coming. At the same time, Magic Online has so many different options. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of like other events that you can do. There's Master Events. There's Cube. There's old draft formats. Apparently, you can still draft our Devastation draft. Yeah, that's still a thing. You can do the old school 8-man queues with that. So there's so many different options, and I feel like it's almost like too many options at one point. You know what I mean? Because like it's other games, it's like here's
it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode. Like here's some of the guidelines that we are trying to point you into. Because when I look at other games, it's like we're gonna give you like 5 or 6 choices. That's it. We're never going over that. Or like we might have a special mode once in a while, but that's about it.
I think it's nice to have the options, but you just need to have the user base be big enough to offer them. And I think that's always been the problem. And so if things aren't firing regularly, then it feels a little bit bad. Like some of those other ones that you mentioned, like I can't imagine they fire off that much, or you have to wait in the queue maybe for a long time. But I mean, I'm looking at like the current list. I mean, that there's some hour drafts going on right now.
Yeah.
There's 4 drafts in round 1. But I think that's that kind of thing that can keep Magic Online fresh. But it just doesn't have enough players, I don't think, to support enough. And like, we haven't even talked about, I mean, I mentioned player run events. There's
that too.
There's like whole formats that are just completely like Penny Dreadful comes to mind as kind of the new hotness, or the latest hotness anyway. And like, that's a really cool format. It's super cheap. And we sponsor a bunch of their events, and I think MTGO Traders sponsors their league and stuff. And
yeah, if you want to be more current, 3DH is the big new hotness as well.
3DH, I'm not even sure what that is.
It's a variant of Commander, so it's not even really a player run event or anything competitive, but it's a format that people have been playing, right? That you can only spend $3 on a Commander deck.
Oh, nice! I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I was actually gonna maybe hoping to feature it on this podcast, but there's not much to say. That's a good thing I haven't really brought up, too. The thing about Magic Online, too, that I'm kind of looking forward to Arena for is, if you want to just play the single game casual Magic Online really isn't for you for that. It's the way it's set up, it doesn't really work very well. You're going to have people that just quit immediately. They're going to yell at you, mm-hmm. or you're going to play some weird decks that just you're never going to play against, or you play against casual decks. So that's where this competition from Arena is going to be. That I'm looking forward to seeing if there's going to be a huge drop off with this or not. So and that's why.
How is Arena not going to have that though? Like, what's going to stop people from just like bailing on games or quitting, or you know? I mean, that's really the issue with casual on Magic Online.
Your rank as well. That's another big thing.
Rank.
Yeah, nothing's going to stop them on bailing either. But the appeal would be you get into another game so fast it doesn't matter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's mostly with games like that. Like, if someone bails on me on Hearthstone, I don't care. I'm in another game in 2 seconds. And the games aren't that individually consequential that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Then that's a huge unfortunate thing about Magic Online, too. It's like, oh, I have to either create another queue or I have to try and jump into this one before somebody else does. So definitely the casual tournament scene, or not tournament scene, you know, casual queue scene is very poor in Magic Online. So that's the one thing
that is, there's no doubt that's true. That didn't used to be the case, for what it's worth, but if these days it absolutely is, and it's definitely gone by the wayside in the last couple iterations of the client. I think that's something they could fix if they wanted to, but Arena will fix it, I guess.
It can. I'm interested to see if it can. So that's something mm-hmm. I can't wait to see, though. Dave, what are your outlooks on this whole situation of events between these two programs?
I just really need to see Limited before I form a proper opinion. But the scary part is still, for Magic Online, is Arena just going to take all its Limited players? That is the most scary thing to me. If Arena, you know, it's easy to play Limited, the queues are fast, a bit like Hearthstone, you know, you can kind of go infinite if you're a good player or you get a lot of play. Let's say they make exactly Hearthstone structure for drafts on Arena, where you get to play 9 rounds, a bit like the appeal of the friendly leagues. You get to play so many rounds and the prizes cascade upwards with every win. I think that might just end up stealing a lot of players off of Magic Gathering Online. And I think that's what we actually have to be scared of. I think a lot of people are scared, you know, they're going to quit on Magic Online, or they're just going to stop producing for it, or everyone's going to leave. But that's not true. I think competitive, constructed play is still going to be really high on MTGO. It's just, how do the Limited events fall?
I still, but if you're not playing for, like, you can't, I mean, you're not playing for anything, really.
You're playing to play again. Just like on Magic Online, my money is already kind of earmarked for playing as many drafts as I can if I'm a random Limited player on Magic Online.
It just feels different if it can never be worth anything other than playing more, then it doesn't feel good. Like, I don't quite get it, because I don't play those types of games or have that sort of mindset, maybe, but it strikes me as just kind of weird. But obviously Hearthstone's successful, but
I know a lot of people that would just love to play free drafts now until forever. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the prizes. Their prizes just go towards more free drafts.
Right, but do you think that's actually true? If they had got to play for free forever, they would keep playing and enjoy themselves? Or would they just be like, all right, I did it, and now I'm bored because I've done too many?
Well, that's hard to tell. Yeah. That is very philosophical.
Right.
But I think so. That is a hard one to tell, because they say yes, but you don't know when they're 5 months in. That's like if you could bring one thing to a treasure island, a desert island kind of thing.
Desert island.
But I think Magic is, I think Magic is replayable enough. Deserved. I think that, you know, depends on the set. Depends on the person's personal enjoyment of it.
Depends on how much money they have.
Yeah.
Right, but when you...
Depends how much money...
When you add in the element of, I won't say gambling, but let's just say the element of being able to gain value by either opening up something that's worth a bunch of money, which is always a great feeling.
Which doesn't happen really anymore, though.
There's often one in the set, one or two in a set that...
Yeah, the one is what it's... Yeah, but yeah.
All right. I mean, okay, it's not always the case, but... And then, or just like getting a lot of prizes that you could then say cash out or whatever. I mean, if you get a lot of prizes in Arena, then what? Then you can just play it forever for free. That just doesn't feel as exciting to me.
We're not gonna convince you. I know you keep bringing up this point, and that's just how a lot of other games are just structured. And it's just you want to get a better rank. You just want to be better at the game, because if you be better at the rank, you're gonna play better players. You want to be a better player. It depends on what people want to get out of the game. So it's not.
But those games don't have the option, whereas Magic does. Mm-hmm. So whichever one, you know, appeals more to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like Magic Online or paper, because paper is the same as Magic Online. But in terms of like business structure, so I think it's interesting because we'll see both of them. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like not paying money is going to bring in more players, because I think there's more people that don't want to pay anything ever than, you know, just want to play for something. But
yeah, and it's as like you said, my brother will try out a draft. Probably he's never ever going to pay for a draft, because he's just too scared. And it's just like how you say, I don't want to play this format, it's too daunting. Well, if it's free and I can try it out, maybe we can get more players into it. So that's from a business perspective, that maybe that's the reasoning here. Yeah, but for the enfranchised player, I don't know. It's hard to answer that question. So we'll have to see how it goes.
But what if all the enfranchised players are gone and they have this other new group that loves it, and then we're all just like old dinosaurs and have to retire or whatever? Or move on to a new game.
Well, that's kind of happened a bunch already.
You think so?
Well, it's kind of what a lot of people say. Decisions are driven by Hasbro. Hmm. It's not driven by enfranchised players. It's driven by casual players.
Right.
It's not driven by current players. It's driven by it's retention. And what's the opposite of retention?
Acquire, the acquisition?
Acquire, yeah. Acquiring new players is the goal of a lot of the marketing, right, opposed to
retaining,
having enfranchised players be happy. You have their money already. As long as you don't do something catastrophic, people don't stop playing Magic. But you have to do special things to get people into Magic. It's like any cable company offers you the first six months for half price.
I like that example.
You're an existing company. Yeah, it's like when you're an existing customer. We're going through this with our Sky at the moment. We got a really good deal, and then they screwed up our installation, so we got an even better deal because we complained about how bad of a process that was. Now that we've been a customer for 2 years, we're garbage to them. Doesn't matter. We can threaten to leave. They're like, whatever, you'll be back. Doesn't matter to us. It all matters on how many new people they acquire, because out of every 100 people they acquire, so many people stick, and that's in general what companies care about, and it's kind of what Magic cares about more nowadays, I think. And that's going to reflect in every one of their products.
Such a crazy thought process for business to me. Like, it doesn't make any sense to, like, just screw your existing customers. Like, it's all about getting the new ones in. I mean, I agree with you. That's what... I don't think they are screwing... Well, I mean, if this takes off and they add all cards on here, I think that anybody with a Magic Online account and anybody with a paper collection lose money. No doubt. So that would be the way that they... Because if you're selling a collectible card game and then make it not collectible thereafter, I think that's a way. But I don't think that's necessarily the plan or the intent. But, you know, just using the analogy that Dave was using to try to... If we're talking about like trying to get players in, which is essentially what Duels was, right? I mean, but I think Arena is much more comprehensive, at least in WotC's mind.
It's much more Magic, because like when my brother knows what Magic is, but if he plays Duels, he's like, this isn't real Magic. Like, I want to be able to build more decks and things like that, or play against more people.
Because it's too limited in scope.
Yeah, right. I don't know. There's a lot of things to consider here.
Yeah, I was gonna try to swing it back to what we were originally talking about, because the Arena thing, like, there's too many questions, and so all we do is speculate. And, you know, as far as the events are concerned, which I think is what we were originally talking about, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about that. I mean, well, it was just kind of comparing the two, and that's how we kind of got into Arena.
Oh, comparing the events of Magic Online and Arena.
Yeah, comparing the... I was saying I don't think Constructed has anything... Constructed events and MTGO has anything to worry about.
Even Standard?
Yeah, even Standard. Because it's just different systems. Being able to buy your entire deck and test for a GP or just, like, switch out decks consistently on Magic Online to play competitive events, opposed to Magic Arena, for the majority of people, is almost going to be, like, a grinding out game. I'm currently playing a game on the Switch, and it's called Stardew Valley. And the whole game is you're just a farmer. And I don't know why it's so addictive. It's just like a little pixelated farmer sim. You've moved to a new town. You grow crops. You sell them. You go mine stuff. You make your farm better. That's it. And it's one of the most addictive little games I've ever played. Callie is currently playing on a different save as well, and we love it. It's just so peaceful. But that's what a Magic Arena is going to be about. I think part of the joy of Magic Arena is going to be grinding out your deck to play in events, where Magic Online is the opposite. It's just play. It's strict just play. So I think that's why Magic Online Constructed events won't be affected. I can't say the same about Limited events.
Yeah, that's some good points to bring up. Obviously, we're not going to see how the economy fully fledges out, so I can't wait to see the dynamic of the two, for sure. But yeah, Magic Online, when reevaluating all the events, yeah, there was just way too many, and I was like, I only play two or three ever anymore, so it's just kind of funny how that works out. So go to events for me, conclusion, Constructed. I love the friendly Constructed ones. Low buy-in, you get a slow, it's a slow grind, so it's just you're gonna have to play more with a certain deck that you know has a good win percentage. So that's my suggestion, but that's personally Dave, he prefers the more kind of high variance formats, which if I was a better player, I probably would play it, and that's what Dave outlined there. So that's where I'm at on that.
For me, I'll just toss it in, but I used to play religiously the Mox events before it got shifted, I think 2 years ago, because, you know, my main thing was to try to qualify for the Pro Tour, and playing Magic Online was the most convenient. So that was always, you know, when I came back to playing Magic Online, and that was now a thing, like that was my big focus. And, you know, back in the day, it was always the big events with the highest payouts and the biggest ability to spike into something really cool and have like an extra couple $100 worth of packs that I could frivolously spend on something silly.
I have to agree with Connor. I like to construct the competitive events, bread and butter, where I get my money when I waste it all on playing Limited for a while. And I think challenge events are something that you should look at if you want big EV, bigger important feeling events. And the best EV, you could argue, save up your QPs. We haven't really mentioned this. Mox Monthlies, free high value events.
Yes, and if you can spike that in the second one, then you get into the Magic.
The best EV of all time
is the Magic Online Championship. So
yeah, for sure. And that definitely depends on what events you play in. I don't care about getting QPs, so that's why I play some of the friendly ones more. Only certain events give you QPs, so just be on the lookout for that.
And that was one reason I used to always play the competitive, because the QPs mattered a lot to me.
Yep, back in the days when you got 25 QPs, those were the days. That was a fun time. Some good things going about Magic Online coming up, though, because you know, Dominaria is coming up. So there's going to be a lot more players focused on Magic Online coming up because of the new set. The new set looks awesome. We're going to talk more about the new set next week. I have one more little segment here that I wanted to introduce before we sign off here. And I kind of trying to figure out like a good system for this kind of segment. So if anybody has any feedback, let us know. But after listening to the game podcast like last week, I feel my Magic skills, particularly with Constructed, have kind of plateaued as of late, partially due to me playing the same kind of decks over and over. I play Death and Taxes and Modern Legacy way too much. So I talked with Dave before the cast, and I want to start a little challenge for myself. And Dave is going to surprise me with the Magic Online deck list, and I will stream said deck. If I go 4-1 or 5-0 in the league, I will make a video on our YouTube channel, The Lotus Club. So Dave, hit me up with a list. Please be good.
Well, we got a pretty established list here in Modern with a new twist.
Ooh, I like Modern.
Clotis Eldrazi. But it plays I knew you weren't the biggest fan of Eldrazi, but it plays Serum Powder,
ooh,
Eternal Scourge for some free value.
What's Eternal Scourge? I don't even know if I know that card.
Eternal Scourge is a 3 mana, 3/3 Eldrazi. Whenever it gets targeted by a spell or ability, exile it.
Yeah, I've seen this deck. Yep.
But you can play it from exile. So when you have Serum Powder in your opening hand, you can just get rid of all your Eternal Scourges. You get a free mulligan, you exile them with Serum Powder, and it's like drawing free cards before the game starts.
Awesome. Can't wait. So is this a 5-0 list, or is this just some random list here?
It went 6-1 in the challenge, and it has a couple 5-0s.
Excellent. Excellent. Cool. Definitely send me the list, and I will put it in the show notes for anybody to see. I plan on streaming this Friday at 1 or 2 Central Standard Time. I definitely will tweet it out. I wanted to add the video stipulation in there to kind of make myself accountable for actually doing this. I didn't want to do a video too if I like bombed it. I'm like, I can't do a video on this. I'm just terrible with this deck.
Yeah, or if you feel like after a few games, like we were saying, we don't want to incentivize me giving you something like Storm where you just can't play it. Or the new Katkan Ironworks combo deck, where you probably just have to win every turn and don't notice it because it's too complex. That's not fun.
I'm going to practice with the deck first. I'm not going to go, oh, here's my first time with the deck. Let's do it. I think I'll like
jam it.
I'll do a league off stream so I can like take my time with it and not be a total idiot. And
you could do some 1v1 queues if you wanted, Connor.
There you go. But I don't want to destroy my value again. Probably do a friendly league. That's a good way to just be safe and not lose too much money. I don't know. Maybe we'll switch it over to Dave, or I don't mind if I keep doing it.
I might grab one. I'm streaming a lot of Arena, but after I think we'll start with you for 1 or 2, and then I might do a Friday stream with a challenge deck.
Yeah, maybe we'll even do Brawl when it comes out. I'm actually very excited for Brawl. So
maybe we'll even get Nathaniel to try one.
I don't know if I can stream, man. It's been so long since I've done it. I don't even... I'm not sure I can get back in that mindset.
Maybe the stipulation for you won't be
just
stream,
to actually play.
But you'll have to report back at some point. We'll win you on there. I'm going hard mode with streaming because I've actually streamed a lot more in the past week. I've been streaming some retro games too. So been enjoying it. It's good to be back for sure.
Awesome to hear.
Well, we're near the end of the show. Usually we have this segment called Card Hoarder After Dark, but we don't have a topic this week. But if you're a huge fan of this segment, you really need to send us some topics. I mean, I have some okay ones, but I want to hear what the people, what they want, and what they want to hear in the After Dark segment. So send in your responses. Hit us up on Twitter, email, whatever you want. CardOrderPodcast@gmail.com if you want to just do that one.
I was gonna say, there's only so much, so much we can talk about alcohol. there's some limit amount of information.
It doesn't seem to be a limit for you, but...
Well, there's no limit on what I can consume, I suppose, other than, the daily limit.
I was going to say knowledge. You're very knowledgeable, so whatever.
Well, I appreciate that, but there's always a lot more to learn. You know, it takes more trips and drinking to accomplish that. And I can't drink that much in a week to come back with new information.
Yeah, that's too much homework, right? Yeah.
That's too much homework, exactly.
Yeah. So sorry, fans, no After Dark topic this week. But that's going to do it for this episode. So I'd like to remind you about upcoming events on Magic Online this week. Modern Cube is up until Dominaria is released, which is about in 2 weeks-ish. For premier events, there's a Sealed Mox open on Sunday. I'm pretty sure there's an RPTQ on Saturday, but that was not on the calendar. I don't think they've released that info yet. So for context, hit me up on Twitter @ConnorPOdonnell, or you can check out my other podcasts I work on, Game Podcast with Jerry Thompson and Brian Gottlieb. Again, the previous episode, Defining Greatness, was a great episode. Highly recommend checking that out. You can also listen to the WCW versus NWO podcast. It's the wrestling podcast Dave and I do. We review the NWO era of WCW pay-per-view by pay-per-view. Dave and Nathaniel, where can our listeners get a hold of you guys?
They can find me on Twitter, where they can see my rants after GPs. I'm going to an RPTQ this weekend, so look forward to that, Twitter followers. And they can find me there @DaveC89, that's SEA. And you can find me on Twitch. I'm streaming a lot of Arena at the moment, enjoying it, though gameplay is a bit limited to the cards I've won so far. That's Dave C, streaming there 5-6 days a week.
And for me, you can email me, Nathaniel@cardholder.com. But I now have I now control again the Card Hoarder Twitter account, so it will typically be me replying at Card Hoarder on Twitter, and I'm going to count that as fulfilling the the obligation of creating a new Twitter account or creating a Twitter. I forget exactly what we said it was going to be, but it's me back in charge of the account there. So you can tweet at me, and it will likely be me replying.
Yes. So after Dark Topics, send them in.
Send them in at Card Hoarder.
Great. Alright guys, that's going to wrap up this episode for this week. Remember, you can find us the show every week on cardholder.com. Next week we'll probably talk about Dominaria spoilers, but until then, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.